You guys know I'm all about making our lives as easy as possible in sobriety. Well, you can eat stress-free this spring with Factor Meals, and they're offering my listeners 50% off your first month plus 20% off your next month with code HAPPIEST50. Every fresh, never frozen meal is chef-crafted and dietitian approved. You can choose from a weekly menu of 35 options plus more than 60 different add-ons. What I love so much about Factor is that I've never been someone who makes time for cooking, but with Factor, I have delicious meals ready to go and on the table in just 2 minutes so I can get back to doing what I want with my time without the hassle of any prep, cooking, or cleanup, a total godsend. Factor's also celebrating Earth Day all month long, so look out for the Earth Month Eats badge on the menu for their lowest carbon footprint meals. Head to factormeals.com/happiest50 and use code happiest50 to get 50% off your first month plus 20% off your next month. That's code happiest50 at factormeals.com/happiest50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box while your subscription is active. This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. We all carry around different stressors in our lives, and when we get sober, they can almost feel magnified at first because we're adjusting to feeling all our feelings again rather than using alcohol to numb them. I was honestly really surprised when I got sober at how many emotions came up for me. I remember literally saying, "I have so many feelings right now," and it felt really overwhelming having to feel them all. But the great thing about that is that it gave me the clarity and awareness that I had some things to work through, like people-pleasing and like my own self-talk. That's where therapy can be so helpful, because it's a safe space to get things off your chest and begin to work through what's been weighing you down. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. What I really love about BetterHelp is that it's entirely online. All you have to do is fill out a questionnaire and you'll be matched with a licensed therapist, and you can switch therapists anytime with no additional charge. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/happiest today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/happiest. Hello, everyone. Welcome to Happiest Sober Podcast. Hi, Mom.
Hello.
I'm with Mom again today. We both just made fresh coffees, right? We were about to hit record.
Yes, we did.
And we're like, Wait, fresh coffees. So coffee cheers. Coffee cheers, Mom. Cheers. If you're sipping a coffee while you're listening, then coffee cheers to you.
Yeah, coffee cheers to everyone.
This feels so extra fun today because usually I'm like sitting up at like a table or a desk as we're recording, and I'm literally in my comfies on the couch under a blanket, and it just feels so cozy to have this chat with you like this today.
Oh, you're not here.
I know.
In Colorado.
I'm back in Denver, and summer has arrived here.
Don't brag.
It's going to drop again next week, Mom, though.
All right, good.
It's going back down next week, but like this weekend is summer. Like,
makes my heart feel better. Yeah.
That it's dropping?
Yes. Mean. Well, but I'm honestly, here in the rain.
I know. Yeah. You know what, though? Like, I went on the nicest walk yesterday in a t-shirt.
Yeah,
and I was thinking to myself how freaking how crazy it is how much the weather affects my mood.
Me too.
Like, I am so much happier. I'm so much happier when it's a nice day out there.
I know. Same, eh? It's like just, I don't know. It's just, it doesn't make you feel joyful, eh?
Big time.
Yeah.
Speaking of happiness and joy.
Yes, ma'am.
Today, we're going to talk about mindset in sobriety. Mom, I feel like this is something that you and I have had a lot of chats about recently. A little bit just about like how we get to choose what we're going to believe about how sobriety can feel.
Yeah. And so, that will determine everything.
Yeah. Well, yeah, that will determine how it feels. So, and I know you hate, I always go backwards, but when you, because, and I'll get into this, but like for sure I went through different phases in terms of my mindset and sobriety. And I totally went through like feeling sorry for myself stage in the early days, or like feeling sorry for myself moments, I guess.
Yeah.
that I had to kind of like actively catch and work through those thoughts as they came up, and it shifted with time. So I think that's like a part of the process of almost like the grieving process and getting through the early days when it's such a big change. But for you, Mom, and I know that you hate when I go backwards, but can you remember what your mindset was around sobriety when you first got sober? Like, I think you had such a different viewpoint on it, even from your very first day one, because of watching your dad struggle with his drinking. You mm-hmm. were very like, I'm either all in or I'm at, like, you know, yeah. if I say I'm yeah. doing this, then there's no turning back was your mindset. Yeah. But did you go through like any parts where you felt a little bit like, not a victim, but a little like, ugh, like, why me? Why can't I just drink normally? This sucks. Life is going to suck. Like,
yeah, how were 100%. Like, for sure, I remember feeling really sorry for myself in the first year. Like, just sorry for myself. And I'm, you know, the only 21-year-old I know who, you know, can't drink. And that was the word for me, can't.
Yes.
Right? Uh-huh. Yeah. I didn't recognize it was really a choice. It was like, I can't do it. Because of what you said as well, I was like, if I'm doing this, I'm not jumping in and jumping out and jumping in and jumping out. So, so for me, it was like, that's it. I'm done. This is my life forever. And I did really feel like how boring, how like sad, how kind of nothing, you know, nothing this existence is going to be like, you know, all that stuff. I really do remember feeling that way for sure. Yeah.
Can you identify, was that something that just shifted for you with time, like how time goes by and then you start to see like it gets easier, life gets a little better, and you're like, oh wait, this could actually be great? Or was that something that you were a lot more conscious and deliberate about, like, wait, I need to change how I'm looking at this?
Yeah, I would say that because – so in the beginning, I didn't know you could change how you looked at things.
Right.
I felt like – you know, I was really fused with my thinking, like thinking that everything I thought was true and real and factual. You know, I think most of us just do accept everything that we think. We feel like we are our thoughts.
Yeah.
And so that was absolutely where I was in those early days. And it wasn't – and oh my God, I sound like a broken record because I know I've said this a bajillion times, but it wasn't until that sweet little man, Andy, sort of – you know, that was kind of the first little indicator to me that, oh, wait a minute. I think it was the first little shift in – without even knowing there was a shift, when he said, you know, you've got that chatterbox running in there and you need to tell it to be quiet. Like that I, you know, this idea that I could actually tell it to be quiet was a whole new way of thinking for me. But even still, so I would say that was kind of the first beginning of a shift for me and the first little glimpse into, I get to have a say in what I think and how I feel, that happened for me. But for sure, it was through the process of, you know, because I spent so many years in therapy. So, you know, it was a lot of then just learning, right? Like untangling myself from myself and from all my victim mentality, all my, you know, all that stuff, all my beliefs, everything that I had thought that wasn't really working for me or serving me, all of that stuff was kind of an ongoing process. But yeah, I really did feel terribly sorry for myself in the beginning.
Yeah. So good, Mom. And like, I think what you just said, like the choice thing is so big, because I remember, and I've said this first part of a few times for sure on the podcast, but I have this memory of, I think, and I was like, I think I was like a year sober here, but it was my second sober Christmas. And like I've said, I struggled the most being in my early sobriety. I struggled the most being around family drinking, like my sisters and Jack, you know, my stepdad. like being around their drinking made me feel so, so left out and on the outs and sad and like missing that that was like our bonding time and we all loved to drink together. And for my second sober Christmas, I was just having a hard time like in life. It's going through like a heartbreak and my mental health was not thriving. And I remember like the three of them drinking and I was feeling so sorry for myself. And I caught myself thinking like, this isn't fair. Like they get to drink and I don't get to drink. Like, so, and I remember catching and really like kind of checking myself on that of like, okay, well, no one forced my hand here. This was my own decision.
Right.
And it's not that they get to drink and I can't. Like, I literally could choose. No one could stop me if I chose to pick up a drink right now. And I think when you make that real in your head, because I think sometimes when you feel like I can't have it, then you feel sorry for yourself. And then when you actually say, well, like I could if I want to, but this is a choice I'm making, it makes it more like it makes you remember that you're making the choice. Like, I don't know if you remember this, Mom, but I think it was, I want to say I was around 6 months sober at this point. And I had gotten to a really good place in my sobriety, but then we had like a long weekend, like a May long weekend, and the weather was nice for the first time. And everybody, we were like, people were like drinking wine in the backyard. And I felt I had the hardest moment. And then it kind of shook me for a few days after. And I was really struggling with like back in my grieving process and all these things. And I remember you said to me, like, well, Maddie, if you want a drink, you can have a drink anytime. Like, I'm not stopping you. And when you made it a real option for a second, it made me like, oh my God, no, like, I don't want to do that. Like, when it became a real choice in my head, it brought me to that truth of like, wait, but I don't want that. And so I'm not saying to like make it a like, I'm not saying like, oh, make it a real option for yourself. But I think sometimes we feel like we're stuck in it. And then we fail to remember this is a choice I've made. So when you said that, it kind of brought me back down to that truth of like, wait, even if I could, I actually can, and I actually don't want to. You know what I mean?
Right, right. Well, it's funny when you've kind of said like, I'm not allowed to have blah, 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 then you want it.
You want it more.
And when you take away the I'm not allowed to, and you're just left with, oh, I actually can.
Yeah.
It makes space to discover if you actually want to or not, right? Mm-hmm. Instead, you're just pushing against it. You're just like mad, like they get to have it and I can't have it. And when you realize, well, I actually can, it really does. It just creates that openness for you to recognize, do I actually even really want it? Yeah, right? And it's kind of fun because I think the answer that bubbles up is always like, wait a minute. No, I don't. Right. It's like sometimes you want the things you think you can't have, right? Just because you can't have them. Or you're telling yourself you can't have them. Yeah.
I think that's so true. And you know what? I've actually, I one time posted something like this on Instagram and got like almost a bit of backlash from comments of someone saying, well, maybe for you it was a choice, but like for me it was life and death. So, because I think I posted something saying like, every day you don't drink is a day where you had the choice to drink and you didn't. Yeah. And that's like such a big deal, something to be so proud of. Cause like there are like 80,000 different times in the day where you could have a drink. And someone said, like, well, for me it's life and death. Or like maybe someone's listening who's like hit a rock bottom or feels like they had to. Like, lots of people will hit rock bottoms and have it be life and death and still drink themselves to death. So it still is a choice you're making, even if it feels like it's something I have to do. It's still something that you're doing.
Yeah. It's never not a choice. Like, if it's life and death, you're making the choice you want to live.
Yes, exactly. Right? Like, you're making the choice of like, I choose life over even if I feel like I want to drink and this is something I have to do. Like, exactly.
Yeah, absolutely. Everything is a choice. Right? Like we're doing, you know, we're doing the thing. We're choosing the thing because we don't want the consequence of doing it. So if it's life and death, if you feel like there's no option, well, your choice in that moment is life. You can't not make a choice. Everything you do is actually, you know, a decision, right? Whether it's like, whether you're consciously aware of it or not, you are making a decision. Yeah. And that person was consciously aware of it. They recognized it was life and death and they were choosing life. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so good. And that's something I like to say too to people, because sometimes I hear from people who like are struggling and they're frustrated that they're struggling. Yeah. Like, I wish it didn't feel so hard, or I feel left out. And it's like, well, how amazing is it though that even in it feeling so hard and you feel miserable and you feel left out and you feel sad and you feel mad and you feel all of those things, you're still not drinking through it.
I know.
And like,
right?
That just shows that the bigger part of you wants sobriety more than the part of you that really wants to drink.
I think it's really interesting, Maddie. Like, so if we think about mindset stuff, you know, I don't ever say, or in the context of talking about mindset, is never saying, you know, when something's difficult, to pretend it's not difficult. That's not what we're talking about. You know, in the beginning, we just both addressed it was hard. There's those hard days, and you know, where maybe you feel like ripped off. Life's not fair. I want to be able to drink. All of that chatter going on in your head. It's like, whenever you're doing something new, when you're making a change, of course it's going to feel hard. Of course it is. But we get to choose how we want to think about it. And I think that's the game changer, is recognizing that even though this thing is hard in the moment, I can still decide, how do I want to view this particular day? So, you know, we can focus on everything that's really difficult and challenging about it, or we can choose to find things that, you know, focus on what we're gaining from it. I think, like, for me, something that's become such a practice is, in every moment, even if something's a struggle, even if I'm, you know, having a hard time or upset about something, is coming back to, like, I really get to decide how I want to feel in this moment. Like, I'm just trying to think of a good example in my head, but like, for me, I find that liberating. I find that super empowering to be able to recognize, like, I can reframe this in a way that's going to serve me better. Like, I can sit and stew in it and feel upset about it. Or I can reframe it in a way that feels better, even if it's making it neutral. So it's not good or bad. Like, sometimes just neutral. Find a neutral place, you know, to think about it. Just something that stops you from going in that downward spiral. And understanding that that's always a choice that you get to make. And sometimes, you know what? You're just having a bad day, and so be it. And you're angry or you're upset, and you're choosing to, you know, you don't want to do anything about it. Some days maybe you just want to sort of sit in it, and that's perfectly okay too. I think it's just about recognizing that we are always creating our own experience, that we get to decide and choose what our state of mind is going to be, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah. And sometimes it's a harder reach, right? And it's okay, because you're not going to stay the way you're feeling in this moment forever. Mm-hmm. And when, you know, it starts to break a little bit, like you're not feeling quite so angry or upset or whatever it is, you can reach, you know, just knowing, reminding yourself, I can reach for a different perspective. I can reach for a thought that's more useful. I think just knowing that is the game changer, right? Yeah. And it's a practice. It's not something that, you know, just happens. It's something you practice doing.
Mm-hmm. Oh my God. So, so true, Mom. Like, what you said, if sometimes you just need to sit in it. And like, I think that's such a part of it. And I know I've talked about this before, but I'm very like, when I feel sad, I know myself and I'm like, I need to just let myself feel this for a little bit before I'm ready to see another perspective. Or like, even sometimes if you try to offer me another perspective, I'm not ready to hear it yet. Like, I just want to be validated. I'm just like, that's irritating because I only want to be mad about it right now. I only want to feel this way. Yeah. But I think that like, even, you know, using like a real life example from my week, not even sobriety related, but I told you this, like, because I feel like I've really been practicing this, Mom, especially from our recent conversations. I've really been trying to practice reframing my thoughts. And so I had told you, like, I flew to Denver a few days ago, and on the flight, I sat down, and I'm an aisle seat girl. I'm a nervous flyer. I prefer my aisle seat. I always make sure to book it ahead because I don't like to be near the window, and I just, whatever, I like the aisle seat. And when I sat down, this woman beside me said, "Would you switch spots with my husband so he can sit beside me?" And he was in the middle seat behind me. And like, I said yes, partially out of niceness, mostly out of awkwardness because I don't want to be an asshole. If I'm being honest about the reason. So I switch and I end up in the middle seat behind, and I sit down. Yeah. I'm like, no problem. Like, yeah, no worries at all. I sit down and internally I'm pissed. I'm like rage texting Eddie. Like, I'm so mad right now. No, I'm in the middle. I booked my aisle seat. Like, I'm feeling so aggravated about it. And then what I did, I had this moment of like, okay, you know what? If I was flying with my significant other, I would want someone to switch with me so that I could sit beside them. And like, mm-hmm. you know what? Mm-hmm. I'm happy that I get to do that for them because I would want someone to do yeah. it for me. And it just was a moment of like, let me just find a thought that feels like more relief so I'm not sitting and feeling yeah. pissed off about this. And I yeah. think that's what it is. It's never about your feelings or your perspective isn't valid. It's valid that I was irritated that I booked yes. my aisle and had to sit in the middle, but like, all like, it's only shitty for me if I sit and be pissed off about it the whole flight. It's about finding your own little freedom in that. Yeah. And that's what we can do with like thoughts about sobriety and feeling mm-hmm. that victim mode or feeling like this is going to suck. And something I think is really helpful with mindset, mm-hmm. especially in the early days, is that like, mm-hmm. it's hard to be like, I'm just gonna, like, let's say you're going out to like a party or a wedding or something and you're shaky and it feels really mm-hmm. hard and you feel FOMO. It's hard to just be like, I'm just gonna choose that I can have fun sober if you're just not there yet, if it just feels hard. But I think something that can be really helpful for times when like, but I just can't see it that way, or it doesn't feel that way for me yet, or I'm not seeing that life is more fun sober, that life is happier sober, or like whatever, I just miss it, I'm struggling, to just like, I feel like a softer reframe is just like, I'm willing to believe that this could get easier. I'm willing to yeah. believe in the possibility that even if it doesn't feel fun right now, that it can yeah. be. And I'm willing to like, I'm going to choose to have optimism for the future. I'm going to be easy on myself. I'm going to decide that it's okay that this is hard. This is just like the beginning stages of it, but that I'm going to choose to believe one day it could be easier, and that I'm proud of myself for being willing to change, and that I know that I was suffering and there's probably nothing good back there for me. So I'm going to, like, you know what I mean? Just really like talking yeah. yourself into, I don't have to believe something that I haven't experienced yet or that doesn't feel true yet, but how can you almost like bridge those beliefs to find something a little bit softer than like, this sucks, yeah. it's never going to be fun, you know?
Yes, 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 yes. Really good, honey. Really good. And I just want to say, two things. I'll say, first of all, for that party scenario, you know, so if it can't be like, I'm going to have fun, if you feel like I can't have fun, if they feel like they're not there yet, it can even be like, I'm going to choose to go in here and not worry about what people are thinking about the fact yeah. that I'm not drinking. Yes. And every time the thought comes up, like, what are they thinking about me? I'm going to let it go. Or maybe, you know what I mean? So it doesn't mm-hmm. have to be like, I'm going to show up here and have fun. It's like understanding what's the predominant thing I'm worried about. And I'm going to make a decision to not let that run rampant in my brain. I'm going to mm-hmm. make a decision every time the thought jumps in, because we can't prevent thoughts from coming in, but we get mm-hmm. to choose what we're going to do with them. Yep, right? Yep, yep. So it's like sort of starting to identify those little things. I'm going to choose to not go here and feel
sorry for myself.
Uneasy.
Or feel, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. About the fact that I'm not drinking. Like, I can remember in early situations feeling myself wanting to melt into the wall. Like, just literally be a wallflower. Like, I yeah. didn't want to have to engage or talk. And it was this moment of, I'm choosing not to give in to that, and sort of making a decision to push myself forward a little bit and make conversation. And, you know, it was easy to just be interested in other people. And people love to share about themselves, right? It's the topic they're most comfortable with. So it was, instead of like, oh my God, I don't know what to talk about with anyone, it was just my way of managing that situation was always just to decide, I'm going to ask them everything about themselves. I'm really going to listen and I'm going to be interested. And it was a great way to, it was a great way to sort of keep myself, my own mind busy by really listening to somebody else. Or, you know, like, I just mean there's all kinds of different avenues we can take once we realize we get to be in charge. And I just wanted to come back to your airplane scenario because, right? Because it's not even that, you know, you could have chosen to say no to her. You could have said, no, listen, I'm sorry. I'm really a nervous flyer and I'm comfortable in this seat. And then, you know, if that little voice in your head pops, chimes in, like, she's going to think you're not a nice person. You're, you know, you're selfish, you're whatever. Then you get to make a decision about, am I going to let those thoughts, you know, that I think she's thinking, define me? And so you get to choose in that moment, I'm going to feel proud of myself for owning what was true for me. And I'm, you know what I mean? Like, if that's helpful to understand. So it's not, you know, whatever the choices you decide to make, you can find a way, just like you did. Like, I can sit here and feel so resentful and feel like she kind of cornered me and like I didn't have an out, or I felt uncomfortable to take an out. Or I can sit here and think the way that you did, which I loved that reframe, that I would have appreciated if someone did that for me. And hey, good karma, right?
Yeah, right?
Yeah, like there's no right or wrong way to do it. It's like understanding, oh, this is the decision I made in this moment. So what's a way I can think about it? Like you said, that softens it a little bit, softens the edge. Like that's more neutral ground, even if you can't get to the really good feeling thought, right?
Yeah, that's so true, Mom. And I hadn't even thought about it that way, but it's like, even if I had said no, it would have almost been the same work, because like either way, it was by asking me to switch seats, she was asking me to either sit in a seat that I don't want to sit in, which was not ideal, or to say no to her, which is uncomfortable. So either way, I'm choosing, I picked the one that felt better for
the
me
least of the
moment.
Worst the best of the worst,
but either way the work is still then to like manage my mind to line up with whatever decision I made,
or manage it. Even if you decided like, okay, I you know, next time I'll make a different decision, like if you decide, you know, I think I would have preferred this next time around to have handled it this way. So it's not like we're gonna fake the story in our head so it matches what we did. It's like, I think what it is not making a decision to not argue with what is, right? It's like good old Byron Katie, like when we argue with reality, we lose 100% of the time. And that's really where all our suffering comes from, right? When we want to argue with what is. So you could have sat in that, changed your seat and sat there arguing with the fact that she asked you, like, she should never have done that to me. She shouldn't have put me in this position. Now I got to sit in this middle
seat. You're listening to this. You're a monster.
Right? And so we like drive ourselves crazy, like, she should have never, and why did I agree to do this? And I should, you know? And so that's like arguing with what currently is. And so it's like finding a way to make peace with what is, which doesn't mean we have to settle for anything long term. It's just recognizing in this moment, this is how it happened, right? Here I am now. So how do I just make peace with this in this moment, so that I'm not creating hell in my own head for myself, right? So does that make sense?
Yeah, no, it really, really does. And even like, you know, bringing it back to examples of how we feel in like early sobriety, something that I think is helpful, again, for when you're in that phase where maybe it feels hard to like shift your mindset, or you're not, like you are in that this sucks era of sobriety, is like, I once had someone say to me online, like, I don't resonate yet with the positives of sobriety, but I can really be grateful for the absence of the negatives. And it's like, even if you can't find the joy yet in sobriety, find the joy in what you're not suffering through anymore. Like, yeah. I can get through this night, yeah. and maybe I haven't quite gotten comfortable with like having a lot of fun sober, or you know what I mean? But like, I can yeah. focus on, thank God that I'm going to wake up and remember my whole night. Thank God I'm not going to wake up yes. in a state of anxiety. Thank God I'm not going to black out and wreck my life this weekend. Like, yeah. let me just, yeah. Until you feel positive about sobriety, just focus on like, okay, I'm going to celebrate not dealing with these things.
I freaking love that. And that's like neutral, right? That's yes. like kind of finding neutral ground for yourself. Uh-huh. And so I think too, like, you know, this expectation that we should feel other than how we feel. And that's what I'm talking about when I say, don't argue with what is. Mm-hmm. Like, if it feels hard for you now, it's okay. Like, that's fine. That's where you are, but you won't be here forever. Mm-hmm. Right. And I think maybe that's like you just sort of alluded to or even said, it's like acknowledging, because look, it's like always forever changing. It's not, you're not stuck here in this place just because you're here now. I think that's mm-hmm. That's another great mindset, is to just understand that, you know, it is forever going to be evolving and changing. Mm-hmm. And so it's either going to change into more of what is. Right. Yep. Currently is, if you want to keep retelling that it's hard, it's hard, it's yes. hard, it's hard. I hate it. I hate it. I can't do this. It's not fair. It's not right. If you stay on that track, then that's what you're going to keep creating more of for yourself. So it's like, what is it that you actually want to be experiencing and creating for yourself? Mm-hmm. I think it's important to even identify that. Right. And so if you know, you know, I don't want to feel like this, you certainly then have a good idea how you do want to feel. Mm-hmm. Right? And so if for today in the hard, messy place, it's hard and messy, it's really great to tack on, but it's not going to be like this forever.
Yes.
Right? Like that's yeah. even just a simple little shift. That's like those things are so important, right? To start opening up, like you mentioned earlier, Maddie, those possibilities, what's possible, like holding, you know, it's not like this now, but I'm going to choose to believe that it's possible that it can be this way.
Yeah. Right? Yeah. Yeah.
Like it's the old, like, you know, in science, like scientists, whenever they're doing experiments, like to push beyond, like, you know, you think about people in NASA who are building rocket ships and doing whatever they're doing. So, or, you know, medical doctors or whatever it is, but they're, when they're doing testing and experimenting, they always say, okay, in here, brackets up, everybody. Like, we have to believe this is possible as we're doing this. We have to believe that this can be possible, because if you're approaching the experiment from it can't be done or it doesn't exist, or, you know, like when they were looking at particles and getting from particles to subatomic part, you know, all the way down, however that freaking stuff works, mm-hmm. you know, I can't think of all the proper terminology for it, but you know what I mean. You know, as you're studying like all that stuff, quantum physics, quantum mechanics, to, they say brackets up, like we have to believe that it's possible or you're not going to be able to discover what it is you're looking for, whether it does exist or not. If you've already mm-hmm. assumed it doesn't, I mean, mm-hmm. why start, right? So I think right. it's the same thing for us. You've got to really believe that it's possible or you're never going to be able to experience. You can't experience anything beyond what you believe is possible.
Mm-hmm. So good, Mom, because we're always also, and this is something you and I have talked about on here, our brains always look for evidence of what it is that we believe.
Yeah.
Like if you believe sobriety is going to just suck and you're going to be miserable forever and it's never going to get easier mm-hmm. and you're going to be left out, you're going to miss out, then your brain's just going to look for all the evidence of that. But if you're willing to believe yeah. like this is going to get easier and this might be hard in the short term, but long term, this is going to make my life so much better. Then like your brain's going to look for yeah. evidence to support that too.
Yeah.
And yeah. something that I think is, I really like to tell people as well is to just trust, like, if sobriety stayed miserable and hard forever, look at you, you've 40 years sober. Mm-hmm. Look at all the people who stay sober forever, for years and years and years. Like, none of them would stay if it didn't get so much better, right? Something I found so comforting in early sobriety. Rob Lowe, who's like a sober celeb, I remember seeing him post a photo on Instagram for one of his sober milestones, and he said something to the effect of like, oh, like if you're struggling, like come join us sober people, the happy and the free. And that little phrase, the happy and the free, like just stuck. Like I always held on to that, like found that to be such a nice. I was actually thinking about that earlier today.
That's so good. Mm-hmm. Like the word free just really like, oh, caught my breath there a little bit, because it is so true. There's so much freedom when you don't need that drink to make you okay, right? Mm-hmm. Or to make you comfortable. Or right?
Yes.
I love that.
So that's good.
A good one, Maddie.
And something too that I think of also when I think of mindset, just thinking of like little reframes that I think can just be so helpful to just like when you can really, if you're struggling and you're like, can really become aware of your thinking, like, because when we get sober, and I felt this so much in my early days, it felt like such a loss. Like it felt like a loss. I was losing my wine, which I loved so much, and I was losing like bonding with people over it. Like that was how it felt. And it's so important to remember everything you get to gain in sobriety outweighs that so much. And I think a helpful reframe can be like, if you're thinking like, oh, I can't, or I don't get to flip that and be like, I get to whatever. So if you're like, I'm going out with for dinner tonight and I can't have a glass of wine with dinner, then like, okay, I get to enjoy my food more because I'm present for it. I get to order a freaking dessert. I get to drive home sober at the end of the night. I get to wake up and not overthink what I drunkenly said at my dinner. I get to have my full day tomorrow. Like really just like I get to, and then fill in all the blanks of everything you're gaining from not drinking.
Yeah, that's so, so good. So good. I love that. I think too, when you sort of think about mindset, it's like, you know, it can be a practice when you wake up in the morning, sort of like, you know, being conscious and making a decision, like, what is the mindset I want to embrace today? Right? Like being much more deliberate about it instead of just sort of letting life happen to you. You know what I mean? Like things are happening or your day's happening and it's hitting your buttons. And I think if you can be more intentional about how you want to feel and how you want to think, then I feel like you have more, you're more in charge over your day, right? It's not running you, you're running it, right?
Yeah, so good. Yeah. And something too that I think like you and I both have talked about so much on this podcast, but really does come back to mindset, is that no matter what, you and I really relate in that we felt so proud of ourselves in early sobriety.
Yeah.
And that's a mindset. Like even having the mindset of like, no matter how it feels for me today, no matter where my head's at, whether I'm in a great place or a bit of a, I feel sorry for myself, this is hard, choosing to still feel so proud of yourself. Like, oh, it's hard and I still am doing it and I'm here.
I'm doing
so
it.
Proud of myself for that. Like that I think is the number one thing that has always kept me going. Not only I'm proud of myself for doing this, it's like an accomplishment. I know there was a time I didn't believe I could ever do this, or I didn't believe I could be sober and still be happy and enjoy my life. But also I can be proud of who I am now. Because like when you're constantly getting drunk and acting out of character and waking up full of shame, that just chips away so much at how you feel about yourself. So it's not just I'm proud of myself for sobriety, but I'm just can be more proud of who I am. And like that's a mindset to always hold on to, no matter how it's feeling for you or how life's going. Like I'm still freaking here. I'm still doing it. And I will hold on to feeling proud of me for that.
Yeah. That's so good, Maddie. I love that. And it's so true. Mm-hmm. And that's a powerful mindset to have, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's the thing. That's the thing I think about sobriety and, you know, how you modeled sobriety for me, Mom. So shout out to you for this, because I've always said I don't think I would have even gotten sober when I did if not for you. But the mindset around it of like, you can choose to view it in an empowering way. Yeah. Like, I'm not doing this because poor me, I couldn't figure out how to drink. I'll never – like now – this is the other thing too. Like, so just to finish that thought, like instead of poor me, I couldn't figure out how to drink, being like – I'm like viewing it in a more empowering way for yourself. Like, look what I get to do.
Yeah.
And I think that's the other thing, is that what at first made me feel – on the outs, or like I'm not a part of that anymore or whatever, like eventually it became something that I'm like, I'm so grateful. I'm so grateful to be on this side of things. Like, I'm so grateful I struggled with my drinking. Otherwise, I probably would have never gotten sober, you know?
I know. Isn't that something? Mm-hmm. Like, that's even interesting for me to hear you just articulate that.
You were there hearing all of my
I know.
Struggles. Right?
And I would tell you, you're going to feel so happy one day. It's going to be so great.
Yeah.
And here you are. But it's so true.
Uh-huh.
It's so true. You really, really, really do get there. You get to that place where it's like it's always interesting to me, the idea of FOMO, right? Because I'm like, FOMO for what? Like, what on earth? What on earth are you missing? Nothing. Because the belonging, right? Like, listen, you know, I'm still a part of everything that ever went on here with the drinking and carrying on that you guys did. And did I have the freaking time of my life? Absolutely.
Yeah.
Right? There's nothing to miss out on. Like, you get, it's not drinking that makes you a part of it. It's how you choose to think about it that makes you a part of it. You know, I could have sat there and been like, oh, great. Everybody's just drinking and they're in their own little world. And, you know, I'm not drinking. I'm not part of whatever is going on. And that's would have been the story that I would have experienced. But I was so very much a part of everything that you guys, you know, even though you were drinking, like, how am I not a part of it? I'm sitting there chatting with you, laughing, you know, whatever game we were playing, whatever we were doing, whatever was happening that night, I'm there participating in it.
You're there more than I was there while I was drinking.
Oh, that love that. Irony. So true.
I was
the only one who was actually
my half open wine eyes, probably half asleep at the kitchen table. Like, I'm not, you're there. If anyone's missing out, it's the one who's drinking and not remembering the night and waking up in a spiral. I know.
Yeah,
that's the funny thing with FOMO that has been my ultimate FOMO reframe. Is like, I missed out on so much because of being drunk, because of not remembering, because of just not mentally being there for it.
You're right. And the truth was, I mean, I was the Lone Ranger who was actually present for all of it. And I had the time of my life. So I think, like, just even shifting that in your head, right? There is nothing to miss out on. I'm still a part of it. I'm still participating in the event. It doesn't matter what's in my glass, right? And get to decide and determine how much fun I want to have.
And I can also feel joy if I'm not feeling like being around the drunk people. I can feel joy going home and having my me time and like, you know what I mean?
1,000%.
Yeah.
1,000%. You know, if you've had enough, you can check out anytime you want, right?
And then, like, oh my God, I will never get over how much I love to drive home sober after a thing where people were drinking. Like, my drive home, I'm like, ah, the best feeling.
I know. Well, like, me.
Waking up in my shoes and not there. Thank God. I know, not there.
Right? Yeah. All the time I've spent being a DD, love it.
I love being a DD.
I know. Me too.
Yeah.
Me too. Yeah.
Oh my God. So fun. Do you have, Mom, any final words on kind of just like the power of mindset and choosing our mindset and sobriety?
Oh my God. I have so much to say about mindset.
Maybe we need a part two on this one.
Yeah. Well, I just think that's the key to me. That's just the key to living a happy life. Like, regardless, right? Like, know that you get to choose what you want to think about, what you want to focus on, right? Mm-hmm. You get to write your own damn story, what it's going to be like. So what's the story you want to tell about your life, right? Tell it the way you want it. Tell it the way you want it. Don't tell it the way it currently is or the way it currently feels. Tell it the way you want it to be, right? Mm-hmm. And that becomes the thing that starts to unfold for you. That's my last thought. That's
I love
last
it.
Thought I want to say about mindset.
That is the perfect last thought to leave off on, and we will do many, many more on this because it's so, so freaking important and just so helpful. It's like such a helpful sober thing and life thing, you know? Like, it goes so beyond just sobriety and early sobriety, just about how you want to feel in life.
Yeah, and it's in your control.
Yes.
It's yours to decide. It's in your control. It's not something outside of you, right? Everything happens for you, not to you, right?
I love it. Oh, thanks, Mom. This was so good. This was so, so, so good. I freaking love this one. This might be one of my favorites.
Really?
Like, you I said that a few times. No, I've said it a couple times. I think this is really one of my favorites. But oh my gosh, thank you everyone for listening. If you enjoyed this episode, then feel free to share it with a friend or share it on social media. If you're enjoying the podcast, please rate, review, subscribe. It helps so much. Follow me on Instagram at happiestsober. Subscribe to my weekly newsletter at happiestsober.com and sign up anytime for my online sober community, the Happiest Sober Hub. Would love to have you there. New episodes come out every Tuesday, so I'll chat with you next week. I hope you have an amazing week. Remember that life's happiest when you're, Mom?
It's definitely happiest when you're sober.
Oh, that was a great one.
Thought I'd switch it up.
All right. Love you.
Love ya.
Oh, hey, it's Erin.
And I'm Michaela, and we're the hosts of the Two Sober Girls podcast, and we are on a mission to spill the wild truth about sobriety.
Forget the rosé all day cliche. Sobriety is flipping amazing.
Absolutely. It's not just about quitting the drink. It's a gift you give yourself and your loved ones.
So what are you waiting for? Break up with that old toxic relationship with alcohol and let us show you the possibilities.
And here's the thing. Everything your precious heart desires becomes way easier without the influence of alcohol.
We're not just two sober girls. We're also wellness coaches. We're here to show you how to optimize health, lifestyle, and beauty, feel sexy and alive as F.
So stay tuned because we're rolling out new episodes every Monday wherever you get your podcasts. And trust us, they have your name written all over them. We can't wait to share the magic of sobriety and wellness with you. Subscribe to Two Sober Girls podcast today and come follow us on Instagram for behind the scenes action and send us a DM. We can't wait to meet you.